Okay, we're going to go back tonight again to Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. And we had finished up, really, we spent a lot of time in the first chapter, really in dealing especially with the prayer, dealing with that prayer, the importance of the revelation that Paul gave. That tonight we're going to start into chapter 2. Chapter 1 is very interesting because it really dealt with God's, especially the beginning of it, dealt with God's work in us, what God did in redemption, and the blessings really that God provided. And one of the things we found that God did what he did through redemption for our sins, what he did it really, it told us from it was his good pleasure to do it. So, you know, God didn't do it because of obligation or anything. It was just his good pleasure to carry out for us. And and we found, you know, that Jesus really is the executioner of that plan that God has for us. He's the one that executes the plan. It was God's good pleasure to do the plan. Jesus is the executioner of the plan, and the Holy Spirit is the revealer of the plan. So really the cooperation between the three, the Godhead, really is how we get to, we walk in the light of the truth. You can't eliminate either any of them in it because they're all needed in what they do. We're going to start into the second chapter. The second chapter really looks at the work of the cross, what God did through the death and burial resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is really important because this is one of the great failures of, I believe, of Christianity in preaching the gospel. Because it will, as we look at this, it's going to identify what we are, what we were before salvation. And this is, and really, it is, really amplifies the need of salvation, of man being saved. And so we'll begin to look at that. God's plan was given before the foundation of the world. Through this, we look at the plan that God carried out, who Jesus Christ executed, was to redeem us, man, from sin. And from sin, the suffering and penalty of sin, and really which was spiritual death. Sin left man in a condition of spiritually dead. And spiritual death, we need to understand this. Spiritual death does not mean cessation of life. You know, every spirit being, we need to understand this, that no spirit being ever dies. All spirit beings are eternal. That's why we talk about hell and cast in the lake of fire for eternity. The people in punishment in hell will be put there for eternity. But spiritually, they can't die. No spiritual being is eternal. Is not eternal. All spirit beings have ever been created by God, whether demons, whether angels, whatever it was, all those that fall into any category in human, all are eternally existing. Spiritual death deals with separation from God, and is the fact that they're not in fellowship with God. And so we're going to find as when man was separated from God through sin, which Adam did, man's separation from God, out of fellowship with God, and that's spiritual death. There's no communion between God and man. And so we want to look in the second chapter, and really we'll find, look at, man is really under a triple curse. As, without God, there's a triple curse. Man's under the curse of sin and its penalty. And the penalty concerning sin is really the wrath of God being poured out. That's what it is. God must judge sin. And let you understand the fact of it is, you know, when people, you know, and I've talked about this before, remember Carmen doing the thing, Jesus down, sword fighting the devil and stuff. But we need to understand this. The penalty that Jesus paid for our sin was God poured his wrath out on Jesus instead of us, instead of humanity. God poured his full punishment of the sin of all humanity out on Jesus. The devil didn't do that. The devil has no authority to do that. I grew up in church and they sort of had the idea that you went to hell and the devil, you know, was the guy that was there punishing people. The devil don't punish. People are in punishment of hell because of the judgment of God. That's the punishment. And the whole thing of it is God has to deal with sin. And so God dealt with man's sin through Jesus Christ. Now, you talk about the love of God. God has to judge sin. He has no choice. He has to. He's righteous. He's holy. He has to. And so in the judgment of sin, instead of judging you and I through His love, He judged Jesus Christ. He put our sin on Him and judged Him in our place. It's quite phenomenal. And now that's quite loving. Especially since it's the demand of righteousness that judgment be poured out on sin. He had to do it. So what He did is Jesus volunteered to have it, all the judgment. Now just, it wasn't the judgment for your sin and yours. It's the all of humanity through all ages. His sin was, Jesus took that curse of all humanity for all ages. And if you can imagine the wrath of God poured out on Him concerning all humanity. So that was the penalty. Also, there is they're under the world system. The sinner's under the world system, which is ruled by Satan and his forces. The man was under a curse. He's under a curse because of sin. He's under the world system, which is ruled by Satan. The world system is ruled by Satan. In fact, he's called the god of this world. He's also under the domination of the unrenewed mind, which and really the nature of the flesh. See, when somebody's a, and we need to understand this about the difference, and as we go in and look at this, I want you to understand, sometimes Christians, and we need to be careful, especially, like, we see all the crazy things people are doing today. And, like, we look at people's sin and the stuff going on out here, but understand, you need to understand the sinner. We see things because we're saved. And we need to understand this. Sinners are in darkness. And they can't see things. They don't see what you see. See, when you sit down and say, I don't know why they don't understand this. You know, can't that guy see that that's wrong? There's a lot they can't see is wrong. Because they're under a curse, the curse of sin and its penalty. They're under the world system. Satan dominates them. And they're also underneath the unrenewed mind, which really follows after the nature of the flesh. That's totally opposite of the born again Christian. The born again Christian is following a different nature. It's totally different. We're not dominated by Satan, and we're going to find out as we go on in these teachings. Is really dealing with the area as we as believers, really the world cannot see things because things are not revealed to them. There's one thing is understand, and you've heard me say this many times, and I'll say it many, many more. Don't try to teach a sinner. The sinner's great need is this. It's not them to understand, because sinners will come and ask you questions and don't want to know about answers to spiritual questions that I don't care. You can spend all your time you want talking to them about it. And you just wasted all your time talking to them about it. The need of a sinner is to get born again. And if he doesn't get born again, his nature does not change and God cannot reveal things to him. He can't because of the nature. You can't give from the standpoint, take things of light and hand it to somebody who's in darkness. They can't see it. That first they need a nature change. They need to be born again. It's like to me the greatest thing, you know, the fact that happened was when I got born again, the Bible immediately became a different book to me than it ever was before. The Bible became a different book. I was a kid born and raised around Christianity all my life. My parents said stuff, the Bible. I could quote more scriptures than probably most Christians could. Had no light on them. Didn't have any light on it at all. Got saved, changed completely. The Bible became a different book. I was like, my God. It was just totally different. Why? Because the nature, spiritual nature team, now the Holy Spirit can start revealing things because now you're in communion with the Holy Spirit's in you. A sinner is not in communion with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job dealing with a sinner is to convict the world of sin. That's his job. He's not teaching the world. He's not the world's teacher. He convicts the world of sin. If you want to get people saved, you got to bring, let the Holy Spirit work, and you're going to have to preach so man can come, the Holy Spirit can convict the person of sin. Not that they need a new car, they need a better marriage, they need, you know, God wants them to have. We tell people that, and people come to Christ with no knowledge that they are the sin. They don't, and they'll say, well, you know, they accept Jesus. They never really accept Jesus to be saved because they don't even know they need to be saved. They think they just need a better life. The Holy Spirit takes the sinner and convinces him of sin. He must be able to do that. A person cannot get born again. And that's why the seeker-friendly church is such a lousy place, because it's a place where they do everything they can to make the sinner comfortable. Don't offend him. Don't tell him he's a sinner. Don't tell him he's lost. Don't tell him he's under the judgment of God. Don't tell him none of that. All of it's truth. And the first thing they don't want to know, don't tell them the truth. Don't tell them the truth. Don't let them know the truth. They won't like that. I'm sorry. We need to know the truth. The truth is what makes you free. We have the whole idea that telling people the truth because we're afraid of offending somebody. We live in a society that's so afraid of offending people. And we live in a society, they offend each other so badly. The Christians tiptoe around in it. Scared little weasels running around. Like, we got to stop this stuff. Oh. Now, Paul starts off here in the second chapter, verse 1. He's going to talk about what our nature was like. Not what we are now. This is what we were like. He says, and you he made alive. In other words, we were made alive. God's, now just think about it. In other words, we were dead. We were dead in what? He said, you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Our nature was death. That was our nature. We were dead in trespasses and sin. We weren't shown a light. And so the word trespasses is the idea, really, it means the word trespass, the Greek word that's used there, it just means to blunder. And actually, the idea is unknown sin. Sin we didn't even know that we were doing that we were doing. Unknown sin. I did a lot. Always understand this. Repentance does not mean confessing every sin that you ever did to get saved. You never confess sin to get saved. You don't confess sin to get saved. You confess Christ to get saved. You confess Jesus Christ as Lord to get saved. How can I confess all my sins? I don't even know what all I did. My God, thank God I don't know what all I did. But you know, it's a funny thing. I get saved, and you know, and as over time as I would get more knowledge of the Word of God, I realized what a sinful life I led. Well, I couldn't. If I had to confess all my sin to get saved, I am just so tired of hearing Christians say that to people. Well, you need to confess your sin to get saved. Well, what are you going to tell him? I mean, I did 10 million more sins than I ever thought I did. How was I ever going to confess them? So I figured to confess my sin, I figured, well, it would be no use because I could never get saved. I have to do that. So that's the wonder. See, when it tells the Christian in 1 John 9, which is written the Christian, which deals with fellowship, it has nothing to do with salvation. It's about fellowship. Sin, as we as Christians are, sin causes us to break fellowship with God. It doesn't mean you broke relationship. You're a child of God. But you break fellowship. And there the confession of sin is when we do something wrong. If you've done 10 million sins as a Christian, you probably weren't really a Christian. I did very much. It's like, give me a break. But it deals with the idea. Because in John, he also wrote in the second chapter of John, he said, if anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father. In other words, sin's not the natural for a Christian. And it's dealing with us. We know when we miss it and do wrong and we just confess our sin. And that has to do to keep us in fellowship with God, to keep the lines of fellowship open between us. What happens was, when you and I sin, it does this to us. It causes us to pull away from God. It doesn't cause God to pull away from you. It causes you to pull away from God. And see, that's what breaks fellowship. God don't break fellowship. Man does. Man breaks fellowship. That's why man must also initiate to come back into fellowship again. That's why. So we don't want to break fellowship. In other words, our communion with God. When we sin, what happens? It bothers our conscience. The Bible says our conscience isn't clear before God. It's going to affect your faith. You're not going to have confidence to ask God for things if you know you've done wrong and you won't deal with it. It's going to keep you away from God. And God's saying, hey, just confess it. I'm faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You know, so get back in fellowship again. Why? So your conscience is clear and your faith works. That's the point of that. Here it's dealing with our nature beforehand. These sins, these unknown blunders. The word sin, really, it deals with the areas of known sin. We did have known sin in our life. People knew they sinned. In fact, the New Testament, I won't go over through all the scriptures on it, but the New Testament teaches this concerning a man who's a law to himself. In other words, if a person has never heard the gospel And what happens? They've never heard the gospel. But there's things that they do wrong that they know is wrong. In other words, their conscience bothers them for doing it. They become a law unto themselves. In other words, they're guilty of sin. They knowingly have done something against their conscience. You will never find a person who, I don't care if they've never heard the gospel, who isn't in that category, who doesn't know that there's things that they did wrong. Everybody knows that there's things that they did wrong. Whether you heard the gospel or not, people know there's certain things, and they'll have, among, just like any culture, cultures will have things that are wrong to do in them. And people will go against it, do things, and maybe they never heard the gospel, but their conscience bears witness to the fact that they did wrong and they know it. Now they're held to that. That's dealing with the areas of known sin. So it comes down to this. We were sinners. We were darkened. We had known sins and unknown sins. That was our condition. Now, I really like that Paul writes it here the way he does, because he doesn't make a differentiation of somebody who did real bad sins or somebody that doesn't seem to have done so much. Because, and this is the whole point, there's no other category. Everybody is a sinner in punishment to hell. Don't matter, you know, when people get off, they start putting their sins in categories. I didn't do as bad as this guy or that guy. Too bad. It's all in the same boat. We're lost. We're in darkness. And the guy that maybe, you know, did drugs, did crazy things, he was no worse off in being lost than the guy who never did that stuff. They were all going to hell. So we were all going to hell. We were all in the same boat before Christ. Everyone was in the same position. Lost without Christ. Now, in verse 2 it says, in which you once walked according to what? The course of this world. That word course, they use the word course there, but the actual Greek word there is the word aeon, which really deals with ages. And it says, in other words, the course of this world. That word age is really a classified age. That word gives you, and what it means this, it's not just, it has the idea of a certain period of time that's designated. It has maybe certain things within that period of time. And really, which this is focusing on, the age is talking about, is the age of this age of sin, from when man's sin till dealing with up to the time that a person, till Jesus comes and back and sets up his kingdom on earth. This age period of time we're dealing with. And so we walked in them, and it's people in this course, and so we fit in. We're in that time period that we're born into this world and that stuff, and so we fit into this course. And in this course of time, we walked in this darkness, because when Adam sinned in him, and everybody produced after him was produced lost. So we're all in the same category. It is because of this age, a period of time that exists. Has to do with all the redemption until the fullness of redemption comes. So this is the age of the time period we're talking about. It is this world system we were in. In the world system, when you and I were in darkness, we walked according to the world system. We walked and followed the flesh. We had unrenewed minds, and we followed and lived after the flesh. That's what we did. And I got really good at it. I could really follow the flesh, I'll tell you. And so did you. So we followed the flesh. We did the things of the flesh. But that was the nature. A chicken ain't going to act like a dog. I mean, if you saw a chicken running around like a dog, you'd really stop and you'd, whoa, man, that would really be the, that'd be, you know, we'd get put that online, you'd get a million hits. But you don't have that. And understand, that's our nature. Understand about that's what we're dealing with in people in the world. Don't get so frustrated about, you know, what you see going on out of here. You're different, and you're supposed to be. The world ain't supposed to be like you. They can't. You'll drive yourself crazy trying to expect them to be like you. Our job is to preach Christ to them so they change natures. If the nature don't change, they keep going the way they are. And I want you to understand this. Since this age that Satan is God of this world, and we're coming to the close of his age for him dominating and ruling, it's going to get worse for the world. Aren't we seeing people acting worse? See, this is with a church. You don't lose your joy. You don't lose your peace out of this. You will, if you walk around, expect them to be nice and to be good. They're not going to be. It's going to be, we're going to see, the world's going to act more like Satan, and Christians who are following God are going to act more like God. That's, you're going to see the divide between the two. We're, you know, Kenneth Hagin, Jesus appeared to him in 1915, told him, he said, many of my people are not going to be ready for me at my coming. He said, they're not going to follow. He talked about, he said, they'll follow false miracles. They'll follow false stuff. They're going to do those things. He told them they would. His people. And we're starting to see that. People who follow God. Even a Christian, if he won't follow God, I'll tell you what, he will follow the world. And he'll live by his flesh. And that's like with we have a seeker friendly. The seeker friendly church is a flesh church. It's a church that uses God's principles but carries them out in the flesh instead of in the spirit. That's the difference between the two. You get over and they measure everything by the flesh. They measure it all by the flesh and not by the spirit. So, which will lead them to do all kinds of things. What happens here, it says they do this, this nature, this time period, is according to the prince of the power. Now that word power is really the word authority. Of the authority of the air, the prince, the one whose authority of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Now the prince of the power of the air is really dealing with the atmosphere around this earth. You know, Satan, in fact, I really found this interesting with astronauts. Now, back years ago, I don't know how many today are, but some of the earlier astronauts were born-again Christians. And I had read a number of years later, after these guys had gone to space, and I read some things about them. They talked about that after they left this earth and they were circling the earth, they said there was such a difference, and they talked really in a sense of a spiritual difference when they got outside the earth's atmosphere of the pressures and the tensions of what goes on down in this world. Why? Because all these demons are down here. This is the place they operate into. This is where their domain. This is the place they have authority. This is the place that they run. You know, demons aren't living on Mars. Mars ain't their planet. It's here. It's here on this earth. I've noticed this, you know, even like traveling from nation to nation. You get places and, you know, different gods and different stuff. You can tell the difference in the atmosphere of places. In the United States, you can tell the difference of atmosphere of places. You can go from one town to another town and tell the difference between atmosphere of different places. Just being around. Spiritual condition. But in this earth, Satan was cast down to this earth. He wasn't cast down to Pluto. He was cast down to this earth. Here's the place where he dominates and rules. This is the place he does. He doesn't rule someplace else. So Christians need to, that might probably be over the head of a lot of people, but we need to understand we're living in this and there's forces that go on here. Now, because the effect of mankind here, but here he says, we were called, really, God says that through the Apostle Paul, that we were sons of disobedience. That's what we were. And you need to understand, when you look at sinners out here, that's what they are. They are sons. And this term sons has nothing to do with male, female. It means they're sons of disobedience. They're all, you know, their nature is to disobey God. That's their nature. They're sons of Satan, who is a disobedient one. They are offspring of that nature. That's what you and I were before we got born again. We were offsprings of the disobedient one. And so we were all into that category. So really, it actually, Paul's writing, if you look at this, it shows us really our depraved nature of what we really are. You know, I've been shocked just thinking about the day and over the time that I've heard ministers say this, and even spirit-filled ministers make statements. Well, people are generally good. And I think, my God, somebody needs to cast the devil out of you. People are not generally good. And especially when I was a sinner, I was not generally good. I was selfish and self-centered. Anything that I did of good, seemed good if it benefited me. If it didn't have any benefit to me. You know, most people, most sinners, if they give somebody something, it is to make themselves feel good. I have time and time again, I've asked sinners, I have listened on TV and asked people, why do you do this certain thing? Makes me feel good. They didn't say, boy, I just really want to help this person. It makes me feel good. They only do it for that's the self-centeredness of sin. The whole thing that really grabbed me when I got born again, I wanted to give, and it didn't matter to me what it did for me. I just had this urge to want to give something to be a blessing. And it wasn't because it made Ed feel good. I felt I was fine whether I gave it or not. I just had desire to do something. Totally different than before. Everything was based, to follow after, what Satan? You're trying to follow. You're following the prince of the power of the air. It's about having comfort in your own flesh. That's what it's about. Fulfilling the lusts and desires of your own flesh. So as sinners, that's where we were. We were in this organized world of sin. It was, understand this. The world of sin is an organized world of sin. Satan's kingdom has organization to it, and he's done well at it. His organization has done well to dominate man. Dominates a lot of Christians. He has done well at it. It's organized. Well, God has an organization if you follow it. But when man doesn't, especially a Christian, if a Christian doesn't renew their mind, you'll find this. If you find a Christian that can't get out of sin and just keep staying in sin and keep doing stuff all the time, they have an unrenewed mind. I don't care how much you say they read the Bible or whatever they do. Their mind's unrenewed because they follow the flesh. The whole thing is if you get born again and you can get your mind renewed, your mind and spirit will join together to bring the flesh under. It'll do it. It works. That's what changed my life. But changed my life is getting my mind renewed by getting in the Word of God. Came in contact with what's on the inside and what's on the outside. As I got my mind renewed, I could double team my flesh. And that's what you want to do. And so you get people that don't have a renewed mind. If a Christian doesn't renew their mind, they will follow the flesh. That's what they'll do. They'll live just like a sinner. Sin will dominate them. They can tell you all these things they know about the Word. Yes, they know words, like I did when I was a sinner. I could quote scriptures to you. I was born around enough of it. I heard enough of it. I'd sit in enough church services. And I knew enough about what the Bible said, but I didn't have a revelation on it. I knew what the Bible said, quote scriptures, but it didn't change my life. Got born again, got a hold of the Word of God, totally changed my life. And so that's what you want to happen. So nobody understand this. Nobody in this earth does their own thing. People will tell you, I want to be myself. I don't want to be myself. I was trying to be myself for 30 years, and you know what happened? I never even made it there because Satan dominated me. Man is going to be dominated by either Christ or Satan. Nobody's doing their own thing. We're dealing with two areas of authority. The authority that's in Christ Jesus, so the authority Satan has. We as believers, we want to walk in line with the Word of God. We want to, stay in line with the Word of God. We want to walk under the authority of Jesus Christ that God gave us through Jesus. You want to continue to walk in that. And realize the fact, I am going to do this. If I don't, as a Christian, yield myself to Jesus Christ and let Him work His authority in me, Satan is going to do it then. One way or the other, we're going to be operating. And it's not going to be by, just ourselves. I'm just going to do my thing. No, we're not going to do our thing. Somebody is going to dominate us. Something's going to dominate us. And it will. Hallelujah. I decided, let's let Christ dominate us. And He does that through the Word and through the Holy Spirit. All sinners are being led and manipulated by the God of this world. All sinners are. They're being manipulated by Him. And, He holds them in darkness. He holds them from the standpoint of coming into the knowledge of truth. That's why we have authority over Satan. We can take authority over demons that bind people from seeing the truth. Now, I want you to understand this. Just because a person comes to the place they can see the truth, they do have their own will whether they want to accept that or not. They have their own personal will. But a lot of people are bound and really in darkness, and they don't see. And until somebody breaks the power of Satan over them, they're not going to ever really see the truth of what's going on around them or what's happening to them. And that's why it's important, that we understand this concerning demon operation. Today, there's loads and loads of people have demons, people are obsessed, possessed, and everything else out here in our world walking around. Crazy people yielding to stuff, and that stuff, demonic powers in operation. And we need to, you know, come to the light of the truth on these things, is to walk in the light, dealing with people out here, realizing that the sinner, and just like with ourselves, till we saw the light, we still just walked like myself. I just walked in a direction and walked in a direction. You know, I was doing everything I could. I did all the drugs and drinking and all the stuff. I tried to have fun, man. I want to have fun. Why? Well, if I wasn't drugged up or drunk, I wasn't having fun. You're trying to have fun. You know? The whole thing is the thing is not having to do that and still be at peace. That's the greatness of Christianity. To me, that's the most incredible thing, that I didn't have to be doing that to have a good time anymore, that I was at rest and peace. And that's really the wonder when people, and that's why as many people today, especially, I think there's lots of people supposed to be so-called Christians, say so-called accepted Christ, but they've never come to the place of really accepting Christ. They've never gotten peace in their life. They're still trying to have a good time. They're not at peace about nothing. They're at rest about nothing. And that's one thing, is when I got born again, it changed. You know, it's just like Wanda said when she got finally accepted Christ a few months after I did. And I asked her why she accepted Christ, and she said, I saw you, and she said, I was living with a different man. You know, somebody said they accepted Jesus Christ and they're still just acting like the same person they were before. Don't you believe it? It changes you. It changes your life. And the whole thing that changed, when light came to me, it was the peace of God and the rest of God in me. I never had that before. I was always driven. And I didn't have that. I was driven all the time. And to me, that was the most phenomenal thing, not to be driven anymore. Hallelujah. That's the life of God. And so that's what sin does. And I understand this too. Satan's a driver. That's what he does. He wants to dominate and push your life. He don't want you to, you know, go. He don't want you to be at rest or you to be at peace. So today, you know, like we dealing with the church today, as we as Christians, we do have authority over the prince of the power of this air, that of the air. That makes a huge difference that we have in Christianity today. Now, in we look at verse 3, says, dealing with us, we were Satan's children. It says, among whom also we all once conducted our lives in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. We were children of wrath. That's why the wrath of God is going to be put. We're children of wrath. That was our destiny of all sinners. Hallelujah. There's one thing wonderful that you and I have, is Jesus Christ took the wrath of God for us. You and I are not children of wrath anymore. That was our destiny before. We were following, again, he said, the lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind. Oh, and our minds could sure think of some stuff, couldn't we? Hallelujah. Thank God we're delivered from that. Hallelujah. We're not doing that anymore. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we were controlled. There was a control. You know, and there's a whole thing. Is when I look at the things of the control of the flesh and of the mind. My flesh dominated me. My mind was never still, was not happy. The only time, it's like with me, if I wasn't drinking or drugging, I was mad. That was me. I was mad. You know, when I drank and drugged, I didn't want to fight anybody. When I was sober, I wanted to fight everybody. See, some people say about it, these people shouldn't drink, they shouldn't use drugs. I want to tell you, there's many of them, they should be on drugs, and they should be, because if they wouldn't, they'd be murdering you. You think, and I'm not kidding, they would be murdering you. They take drugs just like, you know, so many do in our society because of their depression and all that kind of stuff. You know, you just go to the doctor and you get your drugs and they say it's okay. But you're dealing with the same lousy sin that the person out here using other drugs and drinking and stuff that they deal with. It's the same junk. It's just they go to the doctor and they get so-called legal drugs, but it's the same junk to try to keep them happy. And so we need to understand the difference of what's going on here is our nature's been changed. And especially, if anything, is bringing the flesh under. If you can't bring the flesh, the flesh dominates, it's never good. It's never good when the flesh is dominating. And if you notice, because here he leaves the spirit out. He doesn't mention the spirit. So unless a sinner is demon-possessed, he's not controlled by his spirit. And I always get a kick out of this because I learned this years ago, and I always learned this because you always hear people talking about, and sometimes I just have to laugh because of the stupidity of it, like they're talking like on TV and like they'll say, they'll be making mention about somebody or a certain place, and we go to this place and it's spiritual. And I'm thinking about, ain't nothing spiritual about it whatsoever. It has nothing to do with the spirit. There are sinners talking about something natural being spiritual. And the term out here, we think if we tack the word spiritual to something, it becomes spiritual. The world doesn't follow its spiritual nature. Their spiritual nature is dark. It don't see what's going on at all. It don't know what's going on. It's in darkness. It's been shut off from any kind of life, so the flesh dominates and the unrenewed mind. It dominates them and rules them. And that's the way Satan wants to keep it. Is if you look at the sins that go on right now. You look at California, the stuff that are going on, they're having the troubles. They get out over there, they got into all the homosexuality, lesbianism, every crazy thing. Then we help the druggies take drugs. Then we do what we can for that. And then, let the homeless be on the streets. And the more, it's just more flesh and more flesh. And you know what? It gets more like hell. It's more like hell. It's this place where the putrid and the everything else, that's what dominates and rules. And it's why? It's because those decisions to do what they're doing was made by the flesh. The flesh does not love. The flesh looks at what a person's doing and says, I want to help them, so I'm going to let them do what they want, which helps destroy. Well, you need to understand, if you let them do that, it's going to affect you, and after a while, you're going to be destroyed with it. And that's the nature of the flesh. The flesh never loves. There's only one love, and that's the love of God. The flesh doesn't know nothing about true love. There is no such thing as true love. That's why the divorce rates are high. Because they don't know. The flesh does not know true love. The true love is not based on, somebody, I love them, we let people do what they want. You can do whatever you want as long as it don't hurt somebody else. I'm sorry, whatever we do affects other people. I mean, what is this nuttiness, that idea, as long as it don't affect somebody else? But this is the ideas that come out of the flesh. And people sit down, that sounds good. Let's do it. We can do anything we want as long as that. I can be a drug addict if I want. It ain't going to affect any other communities. I mean, we can go around to the major cities. Has the drug areas affected anybody at all? Oh, they're just doing what they want. It doesn't affect other people, does it? No. It affects my wallet because I got to pay taxes to help to take care of those people to stay on drugs and ruin everybody else's life. It's crazy. That's the world of sin. That's what it does. It's in darkness. And people in darkness and Christians who don't ever mature, they turn around and help get this stuff going and help sin dominate and rule. That's what they do. That's the nature of it. Hallelujah. Praise God you're free from that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you're walking, you're in the light of some things. But this is the condition that we were in. But we're not in that condition anymore. Praise God. Now, in Romans 8:6 says this, which is really brings this out. For to be carnally minded, now carnal means fleshly minded. Be minded. So if my mind is renewed by the flesh, to be carnally minded, it says, is death. So understand this, if a person gets born again and doesn't get their mind renewed, they will follow and live like a sinner, like death. That's Romans 8:6. To be carnally minded, that is flesh, your mind's ruled by the flesh, by what your flesh. is death. It says what? To be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. That's why you want to get your mind renewed with the Word of God in light of your nature of life in you. Because what is it? That mind is life and peace. That's what you want. See, many people are praying for God for peace. Well, if you're not going to renew your mind, don't bother praying that. It ain't going to ever happen. People, you can ask God for peace. You will never have peace. Peace with dealing with God has nothing to do with peace in the world, not having wars. You can be at 100% peace, and around you, all kind of turmoil is going on. And you can be at 100% peace. That's the peace that God gives. You know, I don't want peace just when everything gets running good. You're going to find out. That don't happen a lot, does it? We ain't going to have peace very often, are we? I want to be able to be at peace when trouble comes. If you can walk in peace when trouble comes, you will always find the answer to overcome in trouble. Every time. If you're in trouble and you're not at peace, you're going to just stay at trouble. You want to come to the place of peace and rest. That is where your answer comes from. So you want to live there. That's why you renew our minds with the Word of God. When things come against us, what we begin to do is our mind immediately just goes over, not to the trouble that's in our flesh and the stuff that's going on. It goes over to what God has said about this thing and begins to move over into that. That's where the peace that passes all understanding, guarding your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, that's when that takes over. And you go over there and say, yeah, I see this is what's going on. But this is what I do. Here, this the Bible says, if the Word says this, this is the answer to it. That's what I'm going to follow. And so that's what you want to do. Carnal mind, a mind that's ruled by the flesh, is death. A spiritual mind, a mind that is ruled by what's on the inside of you, that's life and peace. You have life in you. You have peace in you. That's what you want to come in contact. That's your new nature. You're born again, life and peace. If you have the nature of God, you could not have life. If you have the nature of God, you could not say, I don't have peace. You have peace. You just never came in contact with it. And you do that for the renewing your mind. Get your mind renewed so it recognizes what's going on the inside instead of what's going on the outside. That's what you always want to find out. The sinner, which we were in the condition, I can recognize this. I was spiritually dead, so I had no life. I had no peace. I had none of that. I didn't have any of that thing. Hallelujah. I certainly understood that. And the sinner's nature is being under the wrath of God. The unbeliever does not need a change of deeds or habits, but a change of nature. I know it's growing up as a young kid and hearing in church, if you just stop doing this, or if you just wouldn't do that, and then you'd come to God. If you wouldn't do this, quit doing that. Well, I used to always think as a kid, I just wasn't good at quitting doing stuff, so I used to think that there's no way an idiot can ever get saved. The only people who get saved are the people who are already good. They're the only ones going to get saved. You know, they can quit doing these things. No, I found out I had to get saved and change nature to start to do good. Because my nature, I know now, was not to do good. And neither was theirs, and they were too stupid to know it. They were dumb too. They didn't know it. If they'd have read the Bible, they'd have found out. But that's one thing, is religion will ruin you. Religion will ruin you because people get religious and they don't follow the Bible. They'll swear they follow the Bible, but they don't. They never even really believe what it says. And they follow their religious principles rather than following what the Bible says. It's the truth that sets us free and makes it. This is how we walk free, is finding out what the truth is. Find out what the Bible says, because you'll stay in bondage if you keep walking over the areas, because religion just puts down just a set of rules and you do this, don't do that. I'm sorry. You need to come in contact with your human spirit and you renew your mind, and you need the Holy Spirit to overcome. If you can live a great Christian life without that, then there's no need for God at all. We have no need whatsoever for Him. You will never live the Christian life without the help of the Holy Spirit. It'll never happen. Can't happen. You need grace. And in grace is God's mercy, and surely you need a lot of that. But God's grace works in you to help you do what you cannot do. helps you become what you could never become. And you need that working in you, or it won't. If it don't, you're just trying by laws and rules, good luck. It'll just wear you out. I've never seen anybody who's a law and rule follower, you know, and it just wears them out. They're always trying to follow their laws and rules, and you know, it just don't get it. Hallelujah. It's better to follow life. And the word's life. Glory to God. Verse 4 says, but God who is rich in mercy. Hallelujah. I like that. It says he's rich in mercy. You know, that word rich is interesting there, because that's the word, I'm not quite sure how the Greek word is plousios, but actually it is the word where we get for the Greek god Pluto. What it means is filthy rich. It's filthy rich. Its idea of wealth is just to be really extreme. It's a person that would have so rich that it influences other people. Now, this is talking, now one thing, understand what this is talking about. It's not talking about money here. It's talking about the wealth of God's grace toward us. In other words, the grace of God, God who is rich in mercy, because in God's grace is his mercy. Now just think about it. His mercy is so rich. God is so filthy rich with mercy, it just influences people. I mean, it's let him influence you. Let him influence you with his mercy. You know, this is one of the things. Never, if you miss it with God and you do things wrong, always count on the mercy of God, because he's so filthy rich, it'll just influence you. To stay away, the big thing it is people always are trying to correct their problems instead of confessing their sin. Confess your sin, come to the throne of grace to receive mercy. God's filthy rich with it. He wants to influence you, not with his judgment. He wants to influence you with his mercy. He wants to buy you off. That's what he's going to do. He's going to influence you with his mercy. He'll buy you off. Hallelujah. Done been bought off. So get bit by, let God buy you off, okay? Hallelujah, with his mercy. It says, why? Because of his great love with which he loved us. So in other words, the condition, we just read through our condition. It stank. See, this is why. When I feel so sorry for a Christian that does not understand what a filthy sinner they were. Because they never appreciate the grace of God as much as a person understands how filthy they were. You get it, you know, I've over the years, as I listen to testimonies of people who recognize what scums they were as sinners, even though it doesn't matter if they did the whole crazy thing, they see themselves that manner. They always love the grace and mercy of God better than people who think they were pretty good and I just came to Jesus. They live a life like, I'm indebted to God. He was so good to me, and look what I was. They're more devoted to God. The more you understand what you were, that's why Paul, in his introduction in this thing, really shows our worthlessness before Christ. And out of all of that, God wanted to show you and I his filthy, rich mercy. That's what his desire was. See, if you see how dirty you were, you see how great the grace and mercy of God is, how fantastic it was to save us, because the condition we were in was unsavable, really. The condition you and I in was a hopeless condition. There was no hope at all in the condition you and I were in. We had no hope whatsoever. And God, and his great mercy, hallelujah, reached down. So God used the wealth and influence of his kingdom, of his mercy in his kingdom, to influence us. That's what he did. And to influence humanity. That's what Christ was doing by taking his sin and our sin, going to the cross, and then dying and raising from the dead. That was the whole thing. So God's filthy rich mercy could reach in out to all humanity. Do you know one of the most sad things is to think that people go to hell for eternity who God did all this for. He did it already. He already has shown all his mercy toward them. He's shown everything. I mean, he's already taken their sin. All they have to do is accept Christ. That's all man needs to do. What a shame that it all is. Man decides to go pay the punishment himself. Not accept what Jesus did. So, you know, you folks are geniuses. Don't ever let anybody think they're smarter than you. If a person, I don't care if they have 15 doctorates, if they never accepted Jesus Christ, they're an idiot. And they're the stupidest person, because time's going to prove it out. Time's going to prove out the wise and the unwise. Hallelujah. Well, we done proved it out already, didn't we? Glory to God. Now, they may not think so, but I want to tell you what. You know, what's his name, the guy that just died, I'm going to tell you what. He found out he wasn't very smart. You know, he wasn't much of a believer in God or anything like that. But I'm going to tell you what, he knows there's a God now, and he knows he'll never be with him. And that's not a funny thing. But they considered him some kind of great genius. He was not a genius. A man is a stupid, ignorant idiot that don't believe in God. He had no education. He had none. Understand that. You might sit here and think, you know, I don't have any, you know, a PhD beside my name. I don't have this and that. It don't matter. If you accepted Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you what, you're a smart person. You're a smart person. That's the greatest thing that you could have ever done in your life. I don't care if you missed it and everything else. You got that one? You did good. You did good. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're not leaving this earth without Christ. Hallelujah. It's good to be saved. Understand this, that in God's mercy, God was looking for man. Man was not looking for God. People, in their idea, they talk about looking for God, but they're not. Man don't even know what God is. Doesn't even understand God. God did salvation. He planned it before the foundation of the world. He planned it before man ever sinned. So how could man be the initiator? God had to be the initiator. God was the one who searched after us. And always understand this. In our condition and what we were, God came after us. Isn't that wonderful? God came after us. See, that's why don't ever get yourself over. Well, I'm just not worthy. And just, don't ever go to that place. Hallelujah. God came after you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you let him catch you. So that was good. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, in the second chapter, in verse 5 says, even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, even when we were in that condition, what made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. Now, think of this. He made you alive together with Christ. He made you alive together with Christ. See, you and Christ are one. The church and Christ are one. We've been made alive together. Isn't that wonderful? Alive together. That's what. When we were dead in trespasses and sin, now think about this. This is before you got saved. Before you even came on, you and I ever came on the earth. Jesus took the sin of the world on himself and made all mankind together in Christ. God did that, dealing with the sin nature. Now, we came along and accepted it and got the great benefit of it. Now, you and I are living the part today. We're living in that made alive together. But all man, you know, there's no, in 1 Corinthians, it tells us that there's no more enmity between God and man. We're supposed to tell the sinner that. God's not out to get you. He's not. God sent Jesus so he didn't have to get you. That's why. God loves so much. His great mercy and grace was given so much to mankind from the standpoint he didn't want to get man. He didn't want to have to pour out his wrath on it. He didn't have to do that. But he had to pour out his wrath. He did it on Jesus. You should always respect Jesus very highly. The church needs to bring Jesus back to the forefront again. The church holds Jesus not in the position he's in. If anybody, we should be grateful to. He is the one who took the punishment. He took the wrath of God for us. I don't even want to take the wrath of God for me, much less take it for the world. The torment that he must have went through to save you and me. And something else. So it says, we were together with Christ. It says, by grace you have been saved, and you were raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. This is really talking with us about the position of authority. It would be a king sitting on his throne, and we are enthroned with Jesus Christ. Man now has his authority back. You got your authority. We need to understand, in this earth, man has authority. We need to understand, Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth, but he's not on earth, he's in heaven. So who carries out the authority here on the earth? You and I do. We're the same as seated in heaven, but we're actually here. He has given us his authority as if we were sitting on that throne. And we have the same authority. And in this earth, we have authority over the devil. The church would just learn to take its authority and walk in the authority it's given us, being seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's astronomical. That was why the prayer that he prayed had to do with this, that they would see this. That people would, the eyes of the church would be opened, and they would see that they were seated in Christ, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that's named. Hallelujah. Taking our place. Glory to God. Jesus did this. God loved us when we were dead. He put us in this position. Just think, we were dead, and we have no good thing to do with it. We didn't do anything to deserve it, nothing to earn it. Nothing at all, but by just believing on what God did through Jesus Christ. This is why man has to recognize sin. He'll never make Jesus Lord if he doesn't understand that Jesus took his punishment, that he's a sinner, deserves hell. If he doesn't understand that, and he doesn't understand, he's not going to accept Christ from the standpoint he's going to say. He's not going to walk around in any authority. You know, he just thinks Jesus is going to give him more money, Jesus is going to do this, Jesus is going to do that. But they'll never walk and understand. They'll never put Jesus in the position that he belongs in. The more we understand the condition we were in and what Christ became for us, hallelujah, we begin to walk, we'll walk in this authority. His love, God's love, not only found us, but cared enough for us that it didn't leave us in the same condition. This is the difference between the love of God. This is why we talk about manifestations and gifts of the Spirit and things in operation is one of the things. God doesn't love people by word. God loves people by deed. He loves people by what he does. See, when a church walks around and just talks about the love of God, today the love of God is this, feeding people. It's not acting like God. It's no demonstrations of the power of God, not walking. Look at Jesus' love for humanity. It's a little different than what we look at today of what's called the love of God. Isn't it different? He could do something about the ills of men. Not just say, you know, I really feel bad for you. God looked at us and he didn't say, I feel bad for you guys because, man, you guys are a mess. He said, I'm going to change this whole thing. I'm changing this whole thing. I'm going to make these people into something they've never been. Do you know, what God did through Jesus Christ didn't put us back in the condition that Adam is. Adam never stood in the position you and I are. Adam's position was if he sinned, he died. The nature of the church is, you sin, you don't die spiritually again. We're in a higher position than Adam was in. You and I, we confess our sin, we're right back in fellowship with God. But our relationship is not broken through that. Isn't that phenomenal? I mean, when you think about it, people today, their whole idea, what God did, I hear ministers say, God's trying to get us back to Adam. Oh, I'm thank God he got me further than that, because I'd have to watch all the time. If I did something wrong, I'd be back with the sin nature again. Hallelujah. I got to get the sin nature because I missed the mark. Dear Lord, hallelujah. What God did through Jesus Christ was greater than anything that ever happened before. There is nothing like the redemption that God did in Christ Jesus for humanity. There's nothing comparable to it. The outcome of what the church is, that's why the church is this special group. That Jesus said, I am going to prepare a place for this group. I am going to that when you got, I'm going to take you to be with myself. That's why when the church leaves and you read the book of Revelation, you see a whole different thing happening in the earth. The believer in the earth at that time is not the church. They don't have the authority the church has. Devil dominates and rules them. The only way out for them is mostly death. That's not our way out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Doesn't preach me happy. Glory to God. He raised us out of this sin, this mess, and He seated us with Christ Jesus. I always like this scripture in 1 Samuel, the second chapter in verse 8. This is Hannah's prayer. Hannah was praying. She was asking God about a child. She made this statement. She said, "He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory." You talk about a prophecy said by a woman in prayer. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did. Hallelujah. Set us on the throne of glory. Took us out of the mess we were in. Out of the dust. And hallelujah. You know, and think about it. She's praying. She prophesied in her prayer. I will surely know this. Hannah had no revelation about what she actually said. What she said, she probably knew a little bit of, but she had no idea. This was speaking about what the Messiah was going to end up doing for humanity. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glad she prayed it. Hallelujah. It was good prayer. He made us alive together. Just think, this was it. He made us alive together. He raised us up together and made us sit together. He made us alive together. This is what we've read through this stuff. He made us alive together. He raised us up together. And now He made us sit together. That's what God did. Now think about what your condition was. And what God, what the position that God, your position was, doomed to eternally lost under the wrath of God. And God's grace and mercy took you and put you on the throne of glory. Made you alive with Jesus Christ Himself. Raised us up together with Him and made us then sit together and enthroned with Him. What a position. You didn't have to do one good deed to get there. Just think this. Every person who accepts Jesus Christ, the instant they get born again, this is what happens to them. Now, this is what they need to become renewed in their mind to. If they don't get their mind renewed into this, this is what happens to them. They'll live by the flesh. They'll just see them. They'll be one of these people that go around and just say to sinners, "Well, I'm just like you are. I want every sinner to know. I ain't like you are. Hallelujah. But you can get to be like I am." And how? Not by some kind of works, great things. God would do this for you on the instant you accept Jesus Christ. This is the position that you take. You become alive together. You have the same life in you that Jesus Christ has in Him. You are raised up together, just as if you were raised from the dead from God, just as He was raised from the dead. It becomes the same. You were made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Whew. What a revelation. You know, this is sort of like a fairy tale. You could almost sit and look at this and say, can this really be true? It is true. I remember when I first got saved, I used to almost have to make myself try to believe. And I said, say to believe this. But this is the word, it has to be true. How could it be? Could this really be this good? You see, if you get a revelation on these things, your faith will go places. You won't have to try to push it there. It goes there. It just naturally goes there. It naturally arises at places because you see yourself. If God didn't have to, He didn't do something to make you work or perform some great thing to become this. He gave you this and handed you, let's just think, every believer is handed this authority of seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus on the day he gets born again, he or she accepts Christ, is handed the same authority the Apostle Paul had, or anybody else had, Smith Wigglesworth had. They have that same authority today. They may not understand it or know it yet, but they have it. God gives it to them. They're enthroned in Christ the very same day. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places belongs to them, just as it does to the guy who's walked with Christ for 30 years and followed Christ for 30 years and walked in it. It's the same. We're not trying to earn this. These are not things that can be earned. They can't be earned. You can't do something good to get this. It's something God gave you. This is about riches of mercy. This is the filthy rich that you have. You're not trying to earn this. You're not trying to earn a seat in heavenly places. That's just that by nature, that's yours. By the nature of the kingdom, that's yours. That's just what it is. We're not earning it. It's yours. Wow. It's incredible. People say, well, that sounds too good to be true. That's what's so wonderful about it. But it is true. The church has been basically trying to earn these things. Instead of setting themselves to mature, they try to earn. We're not trying to earn anything. Anything you try to earn from God, you cannot have faith for, because it hasn't been given to you. You cannot believe God for anything that already hasn't been given. You couldn't believe you received it if it wasn't given. You can believe today that you've been made alive together with Jesus Christ, because you have. That's a given. You were raised up together with Him. That's a given. That's something given. That's yours. That's who you are and what you are. You know, you need to receive that. You need to say those things are true. You need to learn to speak those things. You know, I'm alive together with Christ. I'm seated together with Him in the heavenly places. And you know when you need to say those things? When you're acting so stupid. That'll change what you do. People want to confess those things when they think they've done everything right. Don't bother confessing them then, because you're just trying to earn something. You're using that confession to earn something. No, when you're in trouble and doing dumb, that's when you stop and say, hold it. I'm alive together with Jesus Christ. That's who I am. I'm seated together with Him in heavenly places. It'll change how you act and what you do. If you want to change how you act and do, it's in the middle when you're trying, you know, and you're going along and walking on your own strength, you start talking these things and take your position and place by faith. And that's the day that you walk boldly to the throne of grace and say, God, you know, I just messed that one up, but I'm here because I'm supposed to be here, hallelujah, in your presence. I'm not trying to sneak in here to see if you're going to give me something. You already said you were. You said there's mercy, hallelujah. Come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy. For mercy, and said, find grace to help in time of need. Here I am, I'm the candidate that you call. I'm the person who deserves that, because I meet the qualification. I'm the guy that blew it, and I need the mercies. I'm here. I'm the candidate. See, most people, they're going to come and they want to be bold before God when they've done everything right. You know, I'm just going to tell you what, that's a stench in the nostrils of God. You trying to show up to God on you earned. Don't you do that. We didn't earn it. It was gift given. And that's why we go. That's why we stand in His presence and we go there. We can walk into the presence of God even we missed it. It's not because we earned anything, did they? He called us there to that because it can be fixed in His presence. You can't get fixed out of His presence. And that's why when you mess up, He says, get to my presence. Get to my presence. Get fixed. Get the thing taken care of. Get into my presence. Because that's the place where the grace and the mercy of God is that straightens things out. He don't tell you, well, you go out there, you get it fixed, and when you have everything fixed up, then you come back. I get it fixed, I ain't ever coming back. I don't need Him. Hallelujah. But we get into His presence. I'll tell you, we have a great God and a good God, and there's nothing compared to Him. The condition of humanity and the mercy and grace poured out. It is so unequal. The grace so outweighs the mercy of God, just so outweighs what the condition we were in to fix us. The outcome that was given to you and I just because we agreed with what God did through Jesus Christ. That is a phenomenal thing. I mean, that's all we had to do. We just had to see ourselves the condition that God said we were and say, look, the only way out is through Jesus Christ. He's the only way to the Father, the Scripture tells us. He's the only way. And we just accepted the only way. That's all we did. That's all you and I did. And to me, that's such a phenomenal thing. That's all we had to do. And look what we ended up with. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank You. Oh, God, You're so good. Ah. Oh. makes me wonder sometimes how, you know, you put up with this. Oh, my, you're so good. Hallelujah. So rich in your mercy and kindness. And we just want to say thank you. Lord God, we don't present ourselves before you based on the fact of anything that we've earned or anything we deserve. Hallelujah. But Lord God, we come just in gratitude of all that you accomplished and did for us through Jesus Christ. And Lord God, we just so thank you for Jesus. What a wonderful Savior and Lord we have. How wonderful he is. Jesus, thank you so much for doing for us suffering. And Lord Jesus, sin, but you willingly went to the cross. The word says you did it with joy. Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. So we just want to say thank you tonight. Lord, we just take our place tonight to walk in the life that was given to us. Jesus, through your great death, burial, and resurrection. And Lord, that resurrection life, we got it put in us. Put together with Jesus, enthroned with you, Jesus. Sitting in the same place of authority. Not because we deserve it. You just said, yeah, come and sit down. This is where I want you to be. Hallelujah. And we just want to thank you for that. Thank you for giving us authority over Satan and over his works, that sin no longer dominates and rules us. Hallelujah. We want to thank you that we rule Satan. We dominate over him through the life that was given to us through Jesus Christ. So we just thank you tonight, Lord. I pray, Lord, the revelation of these things just work in us greatly. Hallelujah. And Father, we just pray that you help us take these great truths, Lord God, to be sharing with other believers, Lord God, that they can come and walk in the things, Lord God, the great grace that you've given us and the great mercy that you've shown us in Christ Jesus. And we thank you for it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.